Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. All right. So before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to invite you to check out a few great free resources that I created just for runners. To get them, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or visit www.stephanienatchek.com. If you visit my website, there's a little pop-up box that comes up and it'll prompt you to enter your email address, and these guides will be sent right to your inbox. The first guide is my fueling guide for runners. So in this resource, you'll find my top fueling tips for runners, as well as some specific meal ideas for both your pre- and post-run fuel. If you've been struggling to understand what to eat when to support your running and just figuring out like what those meal ideas, like what those meals look like, what kind of foods you should be including before versus after you run, what the difference is between pre- and post-run fueling, then this guide is exactly what you need to get you started on the right path. The other guide that I created is my strength training guide for runners. So this guide includes both a PDF resource, has some tips, guidelines, and links to my YouTube series where I actually walk you through all of the exercises in the program. This is a great beginner strength training guide for runners who want an effective but efficient full body workout that helps support the key muscles and movements you need to run stronger and injury-free. So once again, both of these guides are available together. I have them put together as a little bundle for you. You can just click on the link in the show notes or go over to www.stephanienatchek.com, enter your email address just the one time, and both of these free guides will get sent to your inbox right away. I hope you enjoy these resources and find them helpful in supporting you and your running. And now let's get into today's episode. All right. So hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast. I am really, really excited today to be joined by not one, but two of my fellow runners and running coaches to have a little bit of a group panel discussion all about returning to running after pregnancy. So thank you so much, both of you, for agreeing to come on to this episode with me and share your expertise, share a little bit about your own personal return to running after pregnancy. I cannot wait to hear what everyone has to share and tell us all about today. So I'm going to start with a round of introductions. I'll let you introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about who you are, how you became a runner, and what you do now as a running coach. So Erin, take it away.
Hey, my name is Erin Van Scandal. I'm a postpartum run coach and owner of The Running Doula. I first got started running in high school pretty casually. I missed tennis tryouts and so decided to go out for the cross country team instead.
Everyone becomes a runner by accident. What is that?
Completely by accident. What is that? For social reasons, really. Yeah. But I quickly fell in love with the sport as a way to reduce stress and just have that sense of community and get a fun social life while being active. And really just have continued running since then, doing anything from a 5K to a marathon, and have a few half Ironmans under my belt, but never the full thing. I ended up getting into prenatal and postpartum fitness about a decade ago, starting out with yoga and then expanding to a couple other group fitness areas like bar and strength training. And it wasn't until I had my own kids, especially after my second kid 3 years ago, that I decided to get my run coaching certification, because my own return to run story is anything but pretty. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I really just wanted to know more, not only to help myself, but also to help others. So I got UESCA run certification and also took a 6-week online course with Dr. Carrie Pagliano, who is a physical therapist who focuses on helping postpartum women return to running, to see, how I could uniquely support this population.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. And Jesse, tell us a little bit more about yourself, how you personally became a runner, and what you do now as a running coach.
Hi, I'm Jesse Grutza, and I'm a mom of two kids. I have a 6- and a 4-year-old. Runner. I mostly focus on marathon running now, trying to do a marathon in all 50 states. I didn't really start running until college because high school sports were done. I didn't have organized sport to keep me active, and that was just an easy way to stay in shape throughout college, and got talked into running a half marathon, but that friend couldn't end up doing it. So it was just me, and then I was hooked from there and kind of started putting together my own training then on. And it wasn't until, so like after having kids and going through COVID, I decided, well, I like putting together training plans. Maybe I should get my run certification. So I did the process because it was also easier to do it online after having kids. So it was beneficial. So I did the RRCA program to get my running coach certification. I started my own business Running with Roses. And then I hooked up and started working with Ryan Explained because Elizabeth had a lot more marketing and more access because this is my side gig as a run coach right now. So, but I work with like all athletes from like 5K to marathon, and most of them are moms as well to easily relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jesse, do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey, your personal journey of returning to running after your pregnancy or pregnancies? How many kids do you have? How old are they? Tell us all about them.
Yes. So I have two kids, and they were both drastically different pregnancies and postpartum return to running. My first is a boy, 6 years old now. I was able to run throughout all of pregnancy, active, actually did two marathons pregnant with him. Ran the day I went into labor. And then I decided 2 weeks later, I'd go ahead and start running again. Big mistake. Everything felt like it was falling out. Ended up having to do like pelvic floor PT, but that was hard to get into. So it wasn't until 6 months postpartum I could actually get into pelvic floor PT and finally actually feel more normal running, because I still decided to push through and had issues with diastasis with them. So lesson learned going into the second pregnancy, I didn't push as hard. I mean, I still ran throughout pregnancy, but was smarter and like worked more on strength and my core. And I waited 10 weeks postpartum after my second. My daughter's 4 years old now. So I waited the 10 weeks, worked on like core exercises. I got into like pelvic floor PT as soon as I could. I might ask a script for my OB like before I even delivered. I'm like, I just want this ready. Yeah, so it went a lot smoother coming back to running, and everything felt put back together.
Yeah, so a lot of good, a lot of good lessons learned along the way. Yes. I think, and I think that that's probably, I mean, hopefully, very common for people. Like, if you don't get that education up front, like if no one kind of tells you, like, hey, you know, you can't just like pick up where you left off pre-pregnancy and go back to like running all these miles, even though it might feel really good. You know, you've got that extra weight off of your body after delivery, and you, you know, feel like you could just float through the air when you start to move. There are a lot of things that have shifted and changed, and it's a completely different story. Like the first time I went for a walk after I delivered my twins, I would have ran if I didn't know better, because I just felt so light after not having, you know, those extra however many pounds on me. And I know that if I hadn't known better, I probably would have definitely tried to run that day, and it would have been a mistake. Yeah, Erin, what about you? Tell us about your journey that kind of, you know, got you to actually really focus and specialize in this area.
Yeah, so I have two kids, 5 and 3. So after I had my first child, mind you, I'd been working in prenatal and postpartum fitness for a while. So I maybe was a little cocky as to what it would look like for me to come back, because I thought I knew, right? I had been collaborating with PTs for a while. I was educated in this area. And yet it still just wasn't smooth sailing. I had two great pregnancies. I always was active during them, felt great. And then for both of my kids in my postpartum period, things kind of just fell apart. And I know I'm not the only one who has that story where sometimes it's like things just don't feel great in that postpartum period. So with my first child, I waited till about 4 months postpartum, I think, to get back to running and joined a local beginner or like back from injury or beginner run group to try to be smart about how I came back. And unfortunately, it just didn't turn out to be a great fit, not because of the group. They were a great group of people, but I learned a little something about myself in that phase. And the first was, it was hard with the nursing to get to a run club in the mornings on the weekend, because I'm having to nurse right before I go. I'm having to kind of rush back. It's not always super comfortable to be running when you've our nursing and whatnot. And so it just wasn't quite as enjoyable as I had hoped it would be in that regard. And also I felt a little bit out of place because I wasn't a beginner runner and I'm sort of injured, but sort of not. You know, I'm an injury plus lack of sleep plus hormones plus a lot of other things going on. And so I didn't feel like the people around me necessarily were people I could commiserate with during the run group about that situation. So it kind of just didn't work out. Got pregnant again and decided, you know what, I'm going to focus after my next pregnancy, my last child, on making that be when I really return to run. So after I had my second child about 3 years ago, I had a PT appointment scheduled at 10 weeks, got the go ahead of like, oh, no major issues, but here's some things you can be working on to get back to exercise. Started getting back to it, had a little bit of nagging knee pain, but for whatever reason, decided to ignore it. You know, do what I say, not what I do, for sure, on these situations. Anyway, yeah. Ended up getting a meniscus injury. And that turned out to be horrible in the moment, but a really good blessing because it forced me to find a PT who worked really closely with postpartum runners. She herself was a runner. She herself was a mom. And she also had the pelvic floor therapy background and the orthopedic background. So she really treated me as a whole person. And you know, as I think we could kind of suspect, that knee issue really did have roots in what was going on with my pelvic floor and that lack of core stability to be supporting my movement. So she helped me not only really understand how to do that physical rehab, but there were two other really important things that came out of that that I think are important. That was managing expectations and kind of understanding what was going on in my life that was making it hard for me to progress in the way I wanted. Like, I'm not getting that much sleep. We need to recover. So that was a big thing, just kind of understanding that and setting my goals accordingly. And then also just finding that community that I said I didn't really find the first time. The second time, having that person who was also a mom who worked with people in that situation, it was just a night and day difference to have this appointment where I could go and say, this is really hard and I'm not seeing the results I want and I get why and I accept that, but I still just kind of need to vent. And that was just so fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think, again, there's like such a learning curve and a learning experience because, you know, when you work in this space, you do sort of think that like, the rules maybe aren't going to apply to me the same way. Like I'm more fit. I am stronger. I have more knowledge than, you know, the average person that we might be talking about who's returning to running. And then it can sometimes like feel twice as difficult when that doesn't really work out. Like it you know, crash afterwards can be twice as great because we weren't anticipating it. We were really thinking everything was going to be smooth sailing for us. For anyone who, you know, isn't really as familiar with my journey, I had a couple of episodes in season one of the podcast talking about my pregnancy. So the time that we are recording this, I am currently just coming up to 11 weeks postpartum. I had twins in November of 2023, and I am not quite yet back to running, but I am currently working with a pelvic floor physiotherapist. And again, you know, doing those core strengthening and stability exercises and getting myself ready. But I am dying to start running again. Like I'm dying. I'm so glad that I'm a running coach because like I get to live vicariously through all of my clients and I'm like building their programs. And I'm just like, you know, that's such an outlet for me right now because I can't do it for myself. So I am very much looking forward to getting the go ahead to lacing up my shoes again. So getting back into running, like the timeline of when and how much and how often and, you know, walk, run, like all of these different questions. I mean, I don't know how much time you guys spend in different social media online spaces, but I spend enough time there to see that this is something that every single day is a topic of conversation for women. We do not know how and when to get back into exercise. I think you both mentioned like a 10-week postpartum appointment. So I don't know how it, like, so where I live, we usually see our OB at 6 weeks. And at 6 weeks, you kind of like, you know, get the go ahead that like, okay, everything's fine. But I mean, what on earth does that even mean? I think my doctor just said everything is normal. So then it's sort of like, you know, to some people that's sort of seen as like, okay, clearance to go ahead and just do whatever, just dive back into all your regular activities. And maybe technically on paper, that's fair, but we know that that's not really the case. So, you know, because this is such a frequently discussed topic and everyone has such different experiences with returning to running post-pregnancy, can you share a little bit more about why some people seem to have a really easy time and other people seem to really struggle to get back into it? Erin, do you want to share a little bit about why that might be?
Sure. And Steph, I'll make a quick clarification. So my medical clearance to return to exercise was at 6 weeks postpartum. Okay. At 10 weeks is when I took it upon myself to see a pelvic floor physical therapist, but that was very much something I did on my own, own accord and something that I knew from my past experience, not anything that my insurance specifically like pointed me to do or anything like that. So at that appointment, you're really getting more the musculoskeletal clearance to return to exercise and some guidance on what should you be doing to slowly progress back. Whereas at that OB appointment, you know, it's a little bit more of a like, we don't think there's a gaping hole in your uterus anymore kind of clearance.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But yeah, in terms of that different experience, I think what's so hard is we are such different people, including prior to our pregnancies. So we have different running histories, different injury histories, different genetics, very different support systems. So is there a partner there who can watch your child while you exercise? Is there a partner there who can help you get some extra rest to recover? What kind of resources do you have in terms of that ability to go to PT appointments or access to equipment? You know, for instance, having a treadmill so that you can train while a baby naps next to you can make it a little bit easier, or a running stroller, anything like that. Sleep is huge. We know that's so important for recovery, along with nutrition, mental health. What was your pregnancy like? Do you have a PT or a coach? I mean, the list really goes on of what makes us just as people very different. And so I think the way that we're going to be able to move back is just going to look very, very different, and not necessarily always dependent on like, oh, who's trying the hardest or, you know, who wants it the most, because I know we all want it a lot.
Absolutely. And even like, you know, how fit you were prior and during your pregnancy, like how much you exercised, how much you ran. You know, I see a lot of people saying like, well, I ran my whole pregnancy, so I should be able to just go right back into it, you know, no problem. Like it should be easier for me because I ran throughout. But you know, that definitely isn't necessarily the case, depending on, right, what type of delivery someone had, what type of trauma they might've gone through during that delivery process, how quickly they heal. And then like you mentioned, that great list of all of those other resources that everyone's going to have different access to. Jesse, what have you kind of seen in your experience as a coach? You said a lot of your clients are moms and, you know, kind of very relatable to what your journey has been. So what do you see in terms of like why some people really have an easier time returning to running and why other people maybe struggle?
Yeah, I feel like it does come down to like time, like how do you prioritize like getting things done, and like obviously the support to be able to get in your running or like strength exercises, because as we know, as we're more experienced, like you can't just run. There's a lot more that goes into running with core and strength and things that we should be doing and recovery. But once you're a mom, like time isn't really your own anymore. So it's like, okay, like even for me, like I get in from a long run, I feel like, all right, straight into mom mode. So it's like, what can you separate out as like your time to get the running done? And do you have the support to be able to do that? And still like fueling is key. Like, can you fuel well? And obviously like when you're nursing, I know that was an issue. Like you're thirsty, you need to hydrate extra, even fuel even more on top of the exercise that you're doing. I just feel like you just get pulled in so many more directions once you're a mom. And so trying to have time for yourself, that it's definitely different from pre-kid time. So I think it does come down to support and yeah, how we delegate our time. Cause I know everyone says like we all have 24 hours in a day, but it's obviously going to be spread differently with what's around. And yeah, we all cannot delegate time same as everyone else.
Yeah. And I think that actually that's a really good point that you bring up too, about, you know, like Erin, you had said managing expectations, and then Jesse, you had mentioned just like all these other obligations that we have and all these other things that are taking up our time and attention, in that you know, just getting back from a run and having enough time to make yourself that post-run recovery meal. You know, if we're trying to do these really high training volumes really soon when we're still so busy looking after our little ones, all of a sudden, yeah, our hydration can slip, our nutrition can slip. And then things like milk supply can be an issue if we're nursing. And it just kind of, yeah, it's like the expectations put on ourselves, that pressure that we are trying to put ourselves under to get back to running so soon ends up just becoming this bigger burden than if we had just maybe given ourselves more time to ease back into things slowly. Unfortunately, the reality is that a lot of this comes down to that postpartum weight loss and getting back to maybe a certain size or a certain number on the scale that we were before our pregnancies. And so people kind of think that if they sign up for like a big goal race, you know, I'm going to sign up for a marathon 6 months postpartum or something like that, then that's going to be kind of the key to get me motivated, keep me accountable, get me back on track. And it's just, it's too much. It's just too many things on our plate all at once. Unless maybe we're in a situation where we have like a tremendous amount of support and resources around us that allow us to be able to take on those kinds of challenges. But I think that it's this rush to get back into things because we feel like we need to or that we should. And I think from both of your experiences and you know, hopefully it won't be mine because I'm just in the middle of this whole thing. You know, ultimately we do want to slow down and, you know, really ease back into it. So Erin, before we started recording the episode, we had been talking back and forth and we were planning out getting together to talk about this topic. We had had a little bit of a discussion about some of the physiological changes. So going back to the topic of actually getting faster after pregnancy, once we've made it through that initial postpartum recovery period and, you know, given ourselves time to heal and all that kind of great stuff, some people do find that ultimately they get faster after they have kids, which, you know, is something that a lot of people wouldn't expect. You think, you know, you're so busy, you don't have much time to train, you don't have as much sleep, recovery, whatever. It's all kind of doom and gloom, but it's not always the case. So what are some of those physiological changes that take place that actually might lead some women to get faster after a pregnancy?
Yeah, so this is so fascinating because the thing we do know is absolutely some women get faster postnatally, and it's really exciting to see, you know, people who maybe had been told or heard that this was kind of going to be downhill from here, and in reality, it's been just spectacular, and they've continued to grow as athletes. The part that we don't understand quite as well is for sure the why, because the research related to postpartum fitness, it's newer. You know, in the past, that really wasn't a financial priority. It wasn't considered a public health concern. And we just didn't have as many women who were performing at this athletic level. So I say all that as a caveat, is there's some great working theories out there as to what the physiological change is, but that we're still really trying to understand that. So one of the theories is related to cardiac output. So we do know for sure during pregnancy, our cardiac output increases in order to make sure we have lots of oxygen-rich blood moving through our body and giving nutrients to our baby. So even though during pregnancy, a lot of women will say that they feel like they're really out of shape and, oh, you know, I've just like lost all my cardiovascular fitness, I always remind them, like, no, you feel out of shape, but actually your heart is working oh so hard and doing amazing things. Like it's adapted to do some really amazing things. And those adaptations can linger a little bit into postpartum. What's a little wishy-washy is how long is it lingering into postpartum? When I looked for journal articles as to, you know, any research that's been done in this area as to how long that cardiac output stays increased like that, it does sound like it normally drops pretty quickly. So anywhere from about 2 to 6 weeks, we're going to see it return to what it was prior to pregnancy. So it's possible that's a bit of an explanation. But it's also possible that it was a little bit more perception. So especially if someone was working out during pregnancy and then went to work out postpartum, it probably did feel a lot easier because their heart is just working in a little bit different of a way. So kind of related, but maybe not the exact explanation of maintaining that adaptation. A second one that I've heard is higher levels of estrogen leading to a higher release of serotonin and thus less fatigue. This is another really interesting one to me because in terms of our higher levels of estrogen, it actually does usually start to dip postpartum pretty early. And especially if you're breastfeeding, we know that estrogen dips below pregnancy levels, actually, when you're breastfeeding. And that's one of the reasons why we don't ovulate and why we are at a lower risk of breast cancer if we nurse, because of this lower level of estrogen. So that explanation is like, maybe that explains it for like a week or two, but again, probably doesn't explain anything in the long term. But having said that, that feeling they're describing, I think, is still something that many postpartum women would relate to. There being a week or a period of time where you maybe felt a little bit like a superhero, where you're like, I'm not getting sleep, eating just kind of whatever I can off the counter, but somehow I feel okay and I'm functioning and I feel like I'm yawning less than I was when I was sitting at my desk doing my job before I had kids. So I do definitely think there's something going on, whether it's that estrogen or not. It may frankly just be straight up adrenaline and kind of our stress hormones related to being in a really crazy phase of life. So it's one of those things that probably does make you feel a little bit more energetic and could give you that feeling of like, I can go hard and fast. Whether that's a great idea, I think, is a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
In that exact moment. But yeah, those are kind of two working theories as to physical changes that are happening to people that might cause them in that earlier stage to actually feel like their fitness is a little bit improved.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's why so many people end up kind of, you know, rushing back into fitness as they go for that like first workout, you know, 2 weeks postpartum, and they're like, oh, this feels great, you know. And I'm just kind of in the midst of this newborn phase right now with my twins. And, you know, in those early days, like, they napped all the time. So I had quite a bit of free time. Like, yes, okay, I was tired, like, for sure, because you're waking up every couple of hours to feed them. But realistically, I had never had so much free time in my life because I wasn't working. I wasn't seeing clients at the time. They napped for, you know, 18 hours a day. And, you know, I couldn't believe like how much I was able to sort of accomplish and get done in those early weeks. So again, if I hadn't maybe known better that I shouldn't be going in and doing a lot of crazy workouts, I think it's a really easy time to get sort of sucked into doing that. And then, of course,
yeah, and I would actually, one thing I'd add to that stuff is that our cardiovascular systems tend to adapt faster than our musculoskeletal system. So that's, I think, another reason people can fall into that trap is maybe I'm feeling really good, like you described, but I may not realize that that doesn't necessarily mean that my bones are ready for a lot of impact or that my pelvic floor musculature has been healed, even though my energy level might be there. So I think it's just so easy to fall for that trap, especially when we're all eager just to get back to it.
Absolutely. And then, I mean, now, you know, like coming up to 11 weeks, when they're napping, their naps are a lot shorter and they're awake for longer during the day. It's like, okay, now it's actually kind of hard sometimes to get anything done because you might have an hour and then they're back up again. So it's just crazy how fast things change and sort of evolve in that newborn phase of life. So Jesse, from your experience working with postpartum moms, you know, is there anything that you've kind of seen in terms of the timeline or those physiological changes and some of the reasons why a lot of women might struggle with their return to running? What's kind of been your experience working with clients there?
I feel like time, obviously, and yeah, with working with clients, I know they like bring up, they're like, well, I never know like when the baby's going to sleep or like how well they'll sleep than the night before.
Yeah.
So if they have lack of sleep, they're not going to have energy to do their run in the morning. So then we push it off, which obviously sleep is a big key in recovery. We want to feel refreshed and not just keep going in a downward spiral of more fatigue with not getting sleep and then running on top of that. But I feel like, yeah, like you're at the mercy of the baby's sleep schedule sometimes. And if there's any sleep regressions, that kind of changes things in the schedule. So that's been,
I'm so terrified.
Issue.
I'm so terrified of these. Everyone always wants to talk about this. I'm so afraid for the sleep regressions that I know are coming my way.
I hope they're quick for you. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Hope they get back on track. But sadly, they do happen.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But yeah, I just feel like it's an ever changing schedule. Like even when like kids start getting older, like do they have activities and how to time manage that? And I know like personally, like I get up before like my family's up now just to have it done with for the day and everyone's hopefully still asleep when I get back home. And yeah, to get able to get that done, at least something done for me before, yeah, you're carpooling and sharing, carting people around during the day and working. So, I feel like just working with them, just trying to figure out a schedule that like works for them, and obviously understanding compassion if like we can't get maybe the lift in as well with our running, because I try to put strength training in with workouts too and other things to focus and work on. And also want to avoid doing like the too much too soon, because I feel like also like, okay, mm-hmm. this is our time to ourselves. Like we want to go out and run and have this time to like feel like ourselves again. But at the same time, like we need to gradually get used to the time on our feet and putting mileage back on if like, say we have a goal race coming up. So we just have to do things smarter and think more quality running over quantity. So like maybe we just can't put in as many miles during the week, but if we can do it smart, we can still train strong and still do well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Erin, with the clients that you work with, are clients seeking you out specifically like for postpartum run coaching, like for that return to running help, or is, you know, you see clients of, you know, kind of all ages and fitness levels and sort of in all phases of life, but this is just kind of an area of specialty for you?
So in terms of the services I offer, technically I am a postpartum run coach who would help you return, you know, in those early months postpartum. But in reality, I find actually rarely is it, you know, at that 12-week mark that someone's reaching out to me. And it's often more like that 2 to 5 year mark. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Not because they haven't been doing anything for years, but rather they haven't really consistently been doing anything. And maybe they're realizing, you know, now is when I feel like I have the physical and mental capacity to really take this time for myself and put the effort to get back to where I want to be. And that's been really interesting because it really aligns with my own journey too, where I thought it would be so early. And it was in small bits, but in reality, it's, you know, with each year, it just feels like there's a little bit more time for me to take that time to myself and really focus on my own goals. And I'm seeing that in my clients too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, in your opinion, what would be kind of the timeline? Like if somebody wanted to sign up for a marathon, let's say, what would be, you know, your recommended timeline after having a baby to set a goal like that?
Oh, so interesting, because you nailed it on the peg when you described that person who was like, I'm going to sign up for a marathon so that I'll have this goal to get myself, you know, back in shape. Because I 100% did that after my second child and then quickly got injured. So it really became a moot point. But yeah, so I would say how this is so dependent on a person. So really interesting story here that I just recently heard was about this woman named Carter Norbo, who is former collegiate runner. She's a physical therapist, had twins in, I think, last August, and then in November ran a PR marathon and nearly qualified for the Olympic trials. So I never want to say there isn't a time frame that you can't do it with, because there are these amazing success stories where someone has been able to do that in a short amount of time. But I think in her particular case, and what she personally in the interview I heard kind of cited for, you know, why was I able to accomplish this thing that's not super common? You know, she said things like she was very strategic in the way that she trained, because she is a physical therapist and she is a former collegiate runner. So she knows a lot about the signs of overtraining versus kind of hitting that sweet spot. She knows when to back off, when to push. She had access to one of those treadmills that can kind of reduce the impact that you're feeling. So she was able to ramp up her running without putting as high of risk on injury and things like, you know, bone or soft tissue injury. She also said that because she was nursing twins and knew that was such a big impact on her hydration and nutrition needs, that she fueled a lot more during the race. So she may have actually just like benefited from that additional fuel. Also, it sounds like she had a great support system. You know, her partner was right there cheering with the babies at the race, which I'm sure was its own marathon. And then finally, you know, she said that after that, her pregnancy, you know, a pregnancy with twins, babies coming early, NICU babies, that she really just felt like she could do hard things. And that was something she consistently reminded herself of. So we do have those stories like that. So I never want to say you can't have that goal as kind of an out the gate goal. But I will say for those of us who this isn't our job or something that we can really put that time of priority or resources towards, I guess my personal opinion is a year is probably the earliest I would be looking at that.
Yeah.
And I would just be reminding that person to think about their why. Why is it that you want to do this marathon? And are you like I kind of was, and you're just trying to prove something? And if you're trying to prove something, is this going to be worth it? Because it is going to take a lot of time, and it is going to have some hard moments while also some wonderful moments. So just making sure you understand your why and if that makes sense for you in that moment. And then maybe also setting, you know, that's your A goal, but maybe also setting some B and C goals too, so that if as we're moving along the training, it's just looking like this isn't a great idea, you know, let's make sure that we have a plan so you're not just left disappointed and we can put all this hard work to good use. And finally, I would just kind of point out to them that if, you know, you're thinking of a marathon because you feel like it's just this really great goal and it means something as a runner, I think there's been this like new resurgence of the 5K focus that I'm kind of loving of, you know, like, would you maybe want to work on making your 5K time faster instead for a little bit? Because that will actually make your marathon training easier and less time consuming if you focus on these shorter distances first. So it was a long answer to the question, but I guess I'm saying, you know, probably a year would be the earliest, but I would really, you know, kind of walk through some steps to help that person understand their why and if they'd be able to give that time to that before suggesting that you know, that was the right timing.
Yeah, I think that's great. And, you know, it's tough because we hear stories like that.
College story. I didn't heard that one, but I'd read Kara Goucher's book. I remember she had gotten back and done a marathon right after she had her son. I think that was more the pressure and like expectations to get back. But it is crazy how, some athletes can just, push through and jump back. I know I waited a year. I think that was much needed time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think it's so interesting too with like Kara Goucher being a great example. And I love how some female athletes are now, letting us peek behind the curtain a little bit more on this and how they've kind of explained, like this is literally how I make my income. This is how I get my sponsorships. You know, their benefit risk analysis is maybe going to look a little bit different than me who, it'd be awesome to finish that marathon. And you bet I would wear that medal with pride, but like I'm still going to be able to pay my bills, whether I, run that or not.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's tough, like for kind of us, everyday runners, where we see stories like that are being highlighted. And it's like, it's not always sort of clear or sort of, and I appreciate that article kind of broke down, the importance of the fueling and the hydration, the fact that this is her full-time job and all those sorts of things, because for the average person kind of reading that story, they're going to think, oh, well, if she can do it, then I should be able to, whereas for some people, they won't even be back to running yet, period, at that point, never mind already being back to running a marathon. So to kind of get all these different perspectives of like, we're all unique individuals, and people who maybe are already elite world-class athletes are probably going to have a different journey back to running than we will. But there's also probably a lot of very, very high level runners who do end up taking significant time off after a baby.
So then what does that return to running sort of look like? So, obviously the timeline and exactly, how long it takes for one runner to the next is going to be completely different. But what are some of maybe those steps, or what's kind of the process of getting back to running? And what are some of the things that a person might be able to do in the meantime before they're actually running again?
I would say, if we're not back to running again, obviously do it. You can, like, if there's any core strengthening or just movement, get outside kind of thing. I think just fresh air in general is a big mood booster. And just breathing that in, figure out ways that you can stay hydrated and fuel, especially if you're nursing. I know they always say like sleep when the baby sleeps, but I know like when does other things get done, and just figure out a schedule that works with you and the baby. And especially I feel like when you do get back to running, like Erin had mentioned about the cardiovascular benefits and how oxygen can be sent to the rest of our body. I know I find a big perk with just like easy running and like keeping our heart rate low to be able to kind of capitalize on the benefits, because that's like another way that we can build our aerobic fitness by working on like easy running and like getting our body stronger to like be able to carry the oxygen through the body. So And yeah, I try to work with that of my athletes to focus, like, even if we have to stop to walk, take a breather, lower that heart rate, like, that's going to be like huge benefits, which is something from like the postpartum, like those initial benefits, like during pregnancy, like get that heart rate stronger to be able to metabolize the oxygen throughout the system. So I find that that's a big thing to work on as well.
So I think just like Jesse said, when we're looking at our return to run process, it really doesn't start with running. So the fact that most of us are going to be told around 12 weeks is about the earliest that we should start actually running, there's a lot more of a ramp up before that. And if you have the energy to start that ramp up, even in your first 2 weeks, fantastic. Like, definitely jump into that because it likely will pay off. So, you know, in those first 2 weeks, you can be looking at, you know, moving a little bit around the house, working on your 360 diaphragmatic breathing to start helping connect, make some neuromuscular connections. So that's where we breathe in all directions to expand out the rib cage and then exhale out, draw everything back in together. Pretty simple, but impactful. We can start just kind of looking at moving the pelvis around a little bit with some, you know, pelvic tilts and a little bit of pelvic extension. At around 3 to 4 weeks, we can be, you know, walking about 10 to 15 minutes. We can be taking different positions to try that breathing work, maybe even starting some small relaxing and contracting of the pelvic floor. Not going wild on that one, you know, talking maybe 5 seconds, 3 times a day, if it feels okay. And assuming we're not having any symptoms here, like, you know, feeling a lot of heaviness in the pelvis, incontinence, pain, anything like that's usually going to be a red flag of reach out to your provider to see what the right step is here. But if not, you know, around 5 to 6 weeks, we could be walking about 20 to 30 minutes, possibly increasing that speed. Like Jesse said, just because we're not running doesn't mean we can't be working on our cardiovascular system. Power walking is a great way to do that, or doing some intervals of, you know, walking a little bit faster. So at that point, we're not looking at jogging, but we are looking at, you know, getting that heart rate up a little bit, and doing more functional movements like a sit to stand or a step up, and those things that are going to be, you know, moving us back towards running, which is, you know, a very unilateral exercise. And then, you know, around 8 weeks is a great time to possibly be reaching out to a pelvic floor physical therapist to start looking at, you know, what is going on. Because around that time-ish, you know, between 8 to 12 weeks is often when we'll start seeing things that are going to recover on their own, and things that aren't, it might be a great time to be asking for a little bit of help. Around then, we could also be doing a return to run self-assessment. So if you just Google that, you'll find, you know, there are definitely some free ones online. I know Dr. Carrie Pagliano has one. I think Nourish Move Love, which is a free YouTube channel, has a free video on it. Expecting and Empowered is a postpartum fitness program that has a free one online. And that way you can kind of take yourself through some strength exercises to see, am I really going to be ready to run at 12 weeks? Or maybe do I have some strength issues or ability to deal with impact or balance that are going to make that not really a possibility at 12 weeks, and can start doing some of that strength training that moves us towards that. So there's a lot you can do before you like fully break a sweat jogging to still really set yourself up for success.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And of course, those extra resources. I know those will be so helpful for so many people. So where can people find you and connect with you if they want to get more information and, you know, of course, learn about how to get back into running after a baby?
Sure. So my website is therunningdoula.com. Doula is D-O-U-L-A. And then on Instagram, you can find me at Erin, the running doula, there. And I'd love to connect either way. In terms of some last advice, I would say if you are feeling like you are ready to run and there's no medical reason why you've been told, you know, to wait, that is fantastic. Get excited. You have some great things ahead of you, but it also can be a little bit challenging. So some things that you can do just to make this phase a little bit easier are, first of all, like I said, to do that return to run assessment so we kind of know what we're working with. If you do have resources available to you, don't be afraid to ask for help, whether that be from a PT, a coach, or someone else who has some applicable knowledge, even maybe a friend who's gone through it and is a good source of information. make a plan. We know just like outside of pregnancy, consistency is key. So if we're just kind of going at this haphazardly, we're likely not going to see the result that we want. So make that plan, and make that plan not only include your workouts, but include your recovery. You know, how are we going to recover from that from a nutrition perspective? Where in the world am I going to get the sleep that I need to recover from that? And if that is not possible, balance it out. Maybe make that workout a little bit shorter and know this is just a small time period. And then finally, find your cheerleaders. I think this one is so huge and not talked about enough, is you could have the best laid plan. And if you are doing this in a silo, it could get very frustrating. So a cheerleader could be a spouse, a friend, a mom, a sister, really just anyone in your life, either who you've met organically or, you know, a coach obviously can be a great cheerleader too, who when you do have even the smallest of victories is going to be so excited alongside you, because those victories are small, but they add up to a mountain. So good things ahead.
Sure. Thanks, Steph. You can find me, my website is runningwithroses.com, and I also am on Instagram at Running With Roses. You can find me there. I'm mostly on Instagram. And last things to share, I feel like you can just find a community of people that you could relate to. If there's anyone in your neighborhood that maybe are getting started or like able to find time to run with, someone that fits your schedule, it's kind of nice to have. They understand what you're going through. I don't know, just kind of like you want to have mom friends, you can like talk things through with baby challenges, like just have someone to understand, and they can be also your teammate. Know that this is short-lived. It will take time to get back to things, but I know they say try to enjoy the little moments with the baby. It's not forever, but yeah, take the time for yourself, and running will always be there to get back to. And yeah, more fun things to come, and you can still chase your goals and be a runner and a mom and do all things.
Absolutely. That's so great. Thank you so much for sharing that last little bit of wisdom and advice. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here today to have a little panel or group discussion all about returning to running after baby. I really, really appreciate both of you taking the time out of your busy, busy schedules as both moms and coaches to be able to spend some time sharing all of your awesome advice and wisdom and tips. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and for checking out this episode. We hope that you found it helpful. We hope that you found it valuable, and that, you know, even if all you need along the way is a little bit of inspiration and comfort, to know that you are not alone in your return to running journey. So thanks again for listening. That's it for today, and we'll catch you in next week's episode. Bye for now.
The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.